relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Some guests don't really need an introduction. Why? Because they are fighting the good fight every single day. They're out there. They're putting their name and their face to the things they believe in and to their love of country. And he is a very good friend of this show, serving the nation for decades in uniform, now as a civilian, as a fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former Commissioner for Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan. Welcome back to this special one-on-one for America First.
Thanks, Sebastian. Look, can I real quick say, like, I feel the same about you. I mean, I think what you do on this show, you're putting your name and your face out there, and you're actually giving folks like me a platform to be able to get the truth and reality of what's going on right now. So thanks for what you do and your service to the country.
That's very kind. That's very kind. I don't get that a lot, and I'll file that away. I'll put it in my safe deposit box. Thank you, Mark. Let's just start. I don't need any talking points with you. We don't need to rehearse. Let's just talk about what we did in preparation. I knew you were coming on the show, and earlier you sent me just some shocking photographs. You sent me an article, and then some photographs that... let's talk about what's happening in America right now, and then we'll break it down, and we'll talk about policies, and then we'll maybe play some clips. So share with our... You can go to my Twitter feed, my Instagram feed, look at these videos, read the article Mark sent me. What is happening in America right now, and what are your former colleagues, your former subordinates being forced to do?
Yeah, Sebastian, I said, I think right now, along our southwest border, I think you can't describe it any other way, but it's just chaos right now. And I think one thing that fired me up to really get a lot of those photos that I sent you was the last manifesto, you know, that the White House sent out about illegal immigration and their strategy. And in that, I think it's like a dozen times that they used the words orderly and humane. I guess if they think they keep saying it enough, it's going to come true and be true, and American people are going to buy it. But look, if you look at the facts, if you look at those pictures.
Describe. Right. You're the expert. You sent them to me. People can look at them on my feeds. What do those pictures show? Where are they from? And who are the people suffering?
Yeah, so some of the pictures, you'll see a bridge. And you'll see thousands of migrants crammed under a bridge. And why are they there? Well, because it's the only area that gives them some shade when it's 100 degrees out. And it feels a lot higher than that with the heat index, right? Because in McAllen, Texas, and Rio Grande City Station, it's all under the Rio Grande Valley sector. They have a capacity of about 600, Sebastian. Guess how many illegal aliens they have in custody? 10,000. 10,000.
So they can, by law, they can, by physical limitations, they can properly house 600 people.
600, and they have 10,000. And that right now there's 8,000 that are not processed.
And what is the phrase in the official manifestos or administration? Humane and what?
Orderly? Orderly and humane illegal immigration process.
No way this administration doesn't know that one area is 9,400 over capacity.
Right. It's astonishing. And look, I sent you another example. And look, I know these images are tough, but of a porta potty.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting because
Let me tell you, I've been to Afghanistan and I've seen some really, I won't even call them restrooms, where the toilet paper was considered to be the wall. I'm not joking, guys. This was in various provinces of Afghanistan in 2006. But what that photograph you showed me, that shouldn't be America.
It shouldn't be. Look, the agents, the sources that I have, they're talking about the stench. You can feel the stench. And you know, the women there, they're needing to breastfeed. They have to feed them. It's raining there. There's thunderstorms. I mean, this is unbelievable. And then there's additional pictures. Finally, I'm getting, because the agents are getting so fed up, because they're worried about retaliation, Sebastian. They are. But I'm starting to get some pictures of inside the facilities. Inside the facilities where you see these individuals packed like sardines on top of each other.
Well, there was one photograph in the article with this kind of chain link fence pulled down, or this kind of divider. And literally it was people stacked like cordwood.
They were
on the ground.
And think
no
about this.
Social distancing, no masks, nothing.
Nothing. And remember, when we were there, there's the so-called cages, right? Which I always push back on that. First of all, so-called cages were built under Obama.
Correct.
But because we were overwhelmed in 2019, the difference was is we admitted to the American people that it was a crisis. We admitted that we were overwhelmed, and we were doing everything that we could to stop it. This administration is refusing to admit it. They're not acknowledging the role they're playing. They're refusing to call it a crisis. And they're doing everything to continue to incentivize what's happening. It's absolutely incredulous. And if you look at this, it's bad on any given day. But as we're still navigating COVID, it's just unconscionable. And the border patrol agents, they're done.
So tell us what has happened to the people who wear a uniform, have a badge, have a gun, have credentials, who are there to protect all Americans. What like 50% are Hispanic?
I see. Yes, it's higher than that.
It's higher.
That's another part of irony.
The majority
right?
of them are yes. of this racist force are actually Hispanic.
Exactly.
What are these people who are there, who've taken an oath to protect all Americans? What are they being forced? What have they been reduced to, Mark Morgan?
Well, first of all, let me give you a couple of facts of results right now. So we're up to 10 United States Border Patrol agents that have died from COVID in the line of duty. 10.
Since what?
10.
Since when?
Since COVID broke out.
Okay.
10. And right now, there's hundreds that are off right now because
they're infected.
Because they're infected, right? And so you've got the very real stuff. And look, this isn't just about them anymore. When I was commissioner, I would talk to them. Here's their fear now, Sebastian, is that they're bringing this. It's not just about them. If you ask a border patrol agent, hey, you got to risk your life, they're like, hey, that's my life. It's on me.
Right.
But they're worried now that they're going to bring this back to their family, to their kids, to their home. They're worried about this. And that's why Title 42 was so important.
Okay, so let's explain. We discussed right. this on our show already. What is Title 42? Why was it important? And is it really still in place?
Yeah, so the answer to the last is it's not. And I'll get to that. So Title 42, again, this was not an immigration policy. And this is very important. It was a public health policy from CDC as part of their containment and mitigation strategy to reduce the further introduction of COVID-19 from outside our borders into the country. They told DHS, you will, Border Patrol, those that are illegally entering, you're going to stop them at the border, process them at the border, and return them to Mexico. You're not going to bring them into your open-air congregate settings like those pictures show that are basically COVID super spreaders, and you're sure as a heck not going to release them into the United States.
This is CDC making the job of CBP possible.
Possible and protecting the American people.
Okay.
And look, they just, but look, so the White House just technically extended Title 42, and CDC is still putting out the same stuff, that it's dangerous, right, for those that are illegally in the country. They just said it, but yet this administration has released almost 200,000 families and single adults into this country while COVID, the CDC order was still in place.
So let me ask you a naive question. You've been a Marine, you've been a law enforcement officer, you've been a commissioner for Customs and Border Protection. Is this administration breaking American law?
Absolutely unequivocal they have broken the law in multiple elements. And I'll go a step further. Look, and I know it's just tough, but I actually believe the president is abdicating his fiduciary duties under Article 2 and Article 4, Section 4 as well, to enforce the rules of law to protect this nation. So not only do I believe the president's doing it, but DHS is doing it. They are actually, what they're doing is actually counter to the INS, the law that tells them what they should do.
Explain that.
So look, I'll give you an example, a really great one, because a lot of times we talk about the border, but let's shift to the interior, to ICE. ICE is, by the INS, it uses words like shall. You shall remove people. You shall go and arrest people. This administration, with their interior enforcement priorities, are actually telling ICE not to enforce the law, is that you're not a priority unless you're a known or suspected terrorist.
So when I was in the White House, I mean, we couldn't sneeze without a lawyer checking what we were
exactly.
doing, right? I remember the first executive order that I had to pitch to the American people when it dropped, which was the travel moratorium for individuals coming from 7 terrorist harboring nations. That, not only I read it, I'm not a lawyer, but everybody in the counsel's office had to read. How is a lawyer now approving that regulation or that policy change? That's got to be against this. They know this is illegal, but they're doing it.
They don't care. because this fits in with their strategy, with their ideology and their political perceived political benefits of having open borders. I'll give you another one. It's just breaking right now. DOJ has just signed an $80 million contract to provide free legal services. Free legal services for illegal aliens. So let's get this, Sebastian. So you break into our country, you violate our sovereignty, our rule of law, and then we're going to say, oh, well, here, for doing that, this is what you're going to get. Free legal counsel. The INA specifically says, no, that if you want legal counsel, you have to pay for it. It specifically says that in a law. Yet DOJ just awarded an $80 million contract to provide free legal services.
Unbelievable. We're talking to the former commissioner for Customs and Border Protection. This is America First, One on One. You can find out more about what this great man is doing and the rest of his colleagues at the Conservative Mothership. It's the Heritage Foundation. Join today, heritage.org. So much more to discuss with our friend Mark Morgan. Mark, do you have any answer to why? Because I have a theory. I look at what Mayorkas said to, this is the new Secretary of Homeland Security. I've used this clip twice on my Newsmax show, used it here on the radio many, many times. He said to the Cubans, don't you dare come here. Don't you dare come. As they are screaming for liberty on the streets of Havana, waving our flag, which could get them imprisoned just for owning that flag. He's telling them, as a man who arrived here as a refugee at the age of one from Cuba in the arms of his parents, that man is saying, don't you dare come here. At the same time, how many illegal aliens have crossed into America since this administration?
They've intentionally released over 300,000.
So 300,000 from Latin America and elsewhere, but none are allowed to come from communist Cuba. Why? Because if you look at Florida, Cubans vote Republican. If you look at Democrat expectations for Hispanics from our hemisphere, it is that if they are amnestied and given citizenship, they are most often Democrats and they'll vote Democrats. I see no other justification. Am I missing something, Mark Morgan?
No, Sebastian, look, I've been doing this for 35 years. I've served for six administrations, both Republican and Democrat. And what is happening on our southwest border defies logic, defies common sense, and it makes absolutely no sense except for what you just laid out. Because Secretary Mayorkas, first of all, that man needs to go. He needs to be impeached. He is a detriment to our national security and our public safety in this country. Because where is he at? Look, what about the little thing called the Pacific Ocean? What, you don't think illegal aliens and the smuggling organizations aren't using the Pacific Ocean and have been for a very long time, and they're doing more under his open border strategy? Where was he at saying how dangerous it was then? Right.
Well, let's listen to him. Let's play a cut from this man who truly something should happen to him. Impeachment, forced resignations, whatever. Play the cut, Eric.
Let me, if I can, share with you what makes the challenge so acute at this point in time. We are following an administration that frankly dismantled our capabilities to address it. And so we are building it from the ground up. We lost 4 years of investing in the countries from which these individuals are migrating. Our safe and orderly systems were torn down, and so we're rebuilding them.
So that's a slander against me, President Trump, and especially you, that you dismantled the border regime. Your response to the man who's now in charge of DHS and the border.
He's a liar. He's a liar, Sebastian.
But he's not. If dismantling it means actually making sure illegals don't cross the border.
His
problem is that you guys did your job.
That's right.
And now they want to have unfettered access for people who think they will vote for them.
That's right.
Way he's mistaken. I mean, his track record before he became secretary was what?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
What did he do before he became a secretary?
He was a deputy DHS secretary for a while.
But before that, he was what? A pro-illegal immigration activist.
Author of DACA, right? It goes on and on. So I think you're absolutely right. He knows exactly what he's doing. Everything he just said in that clip is a lie. It's an absolute lie.
Address it. So address the difference between what you did did under President Trump and what happened 6 months ago.
Closed catch and release. So that was a loophole, right? You come to our borders with a family. That was your passport because of Florida settlement agreement that said we couldn't keep a family more than 20 days. Nonsensical lower court judicial activism. Made no sense. That's what started catch and release. That's what really led to the driving part of the 2019 crisis. President Trump said, what can we do to close that? Remain in Mexico program. That
explain.
Remain in Mexico
program. How did that
program,
work?
Yeah. So instead of if a family came to the border illegally, instead of releasing into the interior United States as they went through the process, we made them wait in Mexico as they went through the immigration process in the United States.
So they couldn't come here and disappear.
What is
happening now? What is happening to illegal aliens coming to this country with regards to courts, court dates, and showing up? Tell us.
So talk about dismantle. They took away the Remain in Mexico program. So catch and release is back on. So right now, if you're an unaccompanied minor and you come to the border, boom, you're released in. If you're a family, 80% of families coming to the border are now being released in. They're getting so overcrowded right now. It's so dangerous, especially with COVID. They started a new program under this president, under President Biden. It's called an NTR. Before it was an NTA, notice to appear, meaning you would come here illegally. A Border Patrol would give you a piece of paper that said, here's your court date.
Here's your actual date. And now,
because the facilities are so overcrowded, that couple hours that it takes to do that is so precious, they're wanting to relieve the pressure valve. Now they're giving an NTR notice to report. So now they're putting the onus back on the migrant that wherever you land in the United States, you have to go to ICE office and report to get your court date.
Yes, Mr. Agent, I promise I will show up one day, maybe.
Right. And they don't. Right now, it's less than, I think, 20% that are actually showing up. And we know that. But here's the thing is, Border Patrol, Sebastian, if I was the chief of Border Patrol right now, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. And why? Because I've got a station that has 10,000. And so think about it. If I can save an hour per every single illegal alien, just in that couple of sectors alone, that's 10,000 man hours. I do the same thing.
Let's talk about who these people are, because this isn't really discussed. Oh, we're so nice. We accept so many people, land of immigrants. So let's be clear who's coming across the border. This is personal to me. My parents were actual refugees who got asylum status. Why? Because my father was liberated from a communist prison where he had been put there for his beliefs, not for committing a crime, but for believing that communism was bad. He was on a shoot-to-kill list. If he was captured after the Hungarian Revolution, he wasn't going back to prison. He was going to be executed in the street. So when he escaped with his 17-year-old future wife in the refugee camp after 6 weeks of interrogation by counterintelligence officers, he was given refugee asylum status, which is given to those who, whether for religious, political, or other reasons, will be allowed to stay in that new country because otherwise they would die or be persecuted if they return. In the hundreds of thousands of people who've crossed the border, are these people, Mark Morgan, asylum seekers with refugee status?
No, they're economic migrants. Look, your listeners need to pay very attention to what you just said. You're spot on. Asylum. Asylum is if you're a victim of state-sponsored persecution because of your religious beliefs or your membership in a protected class or your political affiliation. That's what asylum is. It's not for economic conditions. So look, I got it. You may live in some harsh economic conditions, and I've got it. You may live in a city where there's general violence. I got it. And that's not good. But that is not a valid asylum claim. This administration knows it. 90% of asylum claims are invalid and found to at the end receive a court order of removal. And they know that, but they're still encouraging illegal immigration.
And who's coming? Is it all Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras? Who's coming?
Yeah, see, that's another false narrative that's out there. Look, this is why we say it's not just about our public safety. It's also about our national security. Right now, on average, Border Patrol apprehends illegal aliens from 140 different countries. It's not Mexico.
There's only 200 in the world, guys.
Yeah.
There's only 200 countries. From 140, they are crossing the southern border.
Romania, Afghanistan, Yemen, Bangladesh. I could keep going
Vietnam.
On and on. Everywhere,
right.
Everywhere. It's unbelievable. And so that misnomer that it's only Mexican nationals a lie or it's only Central American, it's absolutely a lie. This administration has gone a step further than ever before, and they're sending a calling card not just to the Western Hemisphere. They're sending a calling card to the entire world.
Yeah.
Our borders are open.
And somebody's buying them T-shirts that say, let us in President Biden. Very strange. My parents didn't have T-shirts saying, let me in to the Prime Minister of the UK or whatever. No, very strange. Somebody's paying for them. We're talking to Mark Morgan, Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. So here's perhaps the most shocking question. The photographs we've discussed. Who's profiting? Forget the long-term political gain the Democrats think they're going to get by amnestying these people. Who is profiting right now every single day from what's happening on the southern border? And how much do you think they're profiting, Mark?
Cartels, billions. Overnight, this administration, with a stroke of a pen, put the cartels back in the human smuggling business. And their bank accounts over the past 6 months have grown billions of dollars. And it's not just about the money, though, Sebastian. When you're talking about the money and the finances, their power increases, their influence increases in Mexico. Everything about the cartels becomes more powerful.
So it
powerful.
Actually destabilizes Mexico.
Absolutely correct.
Because they're richer.
That's
they have
correct.
More power
That's
to
correct.
Buy people, to bribe people.
That's right. That's right. And right now, I call it Tamaulipas for one area. It's a full-blown narco state, right? I mean, they own it. The cartels own it. First of all, there's nothing that goes from Mexico to the United States without the cartels knowing about and being paid for it. That's a fact. But you're absolutely right. They're the ones that ultimately are become more powerful. And this is why I also say, look, when this is another false binary choice, that border security and illegal immigration are separate and apart from each other. So, oh, no, we're serious about border security. But at the same time, oh, but you understand, we've got to let all these illegal aliens in. No. They're not mutually exclusive. If you open our borders up to one threat, one crisis, you're opening it up to the vast, complex threat. Look, when you have 210,000 apprehensions in July, think about the resources it takes to process and apprehend. Large area of the borders are wide open. And what do you think the cartels are doing? Drugs are
pouring
through.
So this is my question. So when you've got, maybe 2 million illegal crossings in the calendar year, that's all.
Yep.
That the system can't maintain that. That you're already overwhelmed. So they know where the caravans are crossing the border. They have their guys that are the coyotes manning them. You flood the zone over here. What's coming across 20 miles down the border?
Right. Sebastian, look, what you just said is absolutely correct. And it's not that complicated, right? They intentionally will flood one area with unaccompanied minors and families. They actually have their cartel members in the United States on hilltops, watching and directing.
As lookouts.
As lookouts, right. We call it LPOPs in the military. And they have sophisticated communications. And they'll say, okay, we just sent the family of 60, 70 here in McAllen. Okay, Border Patrol responded. Okay, over
so,
here,
so move
go.
The fentanyl
you got
over
it.
There. Move
gang,
the
gang
guns
members,
over
guns,
there.
Criminal aliens, you got it. Happen every single day. This fiscal year, 300,000 gotaways. 300,000. And look, they're...
Meaning people who are never intercepted.
Never intercepted. Because Border Patrol are off being daycare providers for families and processing 210,000 in 30 days. And so look, there are criminals among them. This is where I get my hate mail, right? They're not all good people. That's the fact. Border Patrol has apprehended 9,000 illegal aliens with criminal convictions. 9,000.
Convicted here.
Convicted.
In America.
In America. And some other areas. They've got some convictions.
Oh, so they've got some
they do.
Records elsewhere that we have access.
Exactly. But, okay. But the majority here, to include of that 9,000, 50 that have been convicted for murder. 50. So think about that.
But these are the people we have intercepted.
Exactly. So when you look at the 300,000 that we have it, that's why it's not hyperbole to say there are murderers, rapists, aggravated felons.
So when
among
Donald
them.
Trump said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? When he said
he was right.
They're sending rapists, murderers. That's not a political tactic.
No, it's
you've
not,
got the evidence.
Evidence. It's not hyperbole. You know, they beat him up, and he was absolutely factually accurate. Now, is everybody a rapist? No, but are there rapists and murderers? Yes, it's factually accurate. And get this: is why we say whatever happens in the Southwest border, it doesn't stay there. every town, city, and state.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So people, I've seen photographs of illegal aliens with manila envelopes and plane tickets with little cards written in English saying, I don't speak English. Can you help me make my connecting flight? Where is the federal government sending these illegal aliens? Are they in Texas and Arizona?
Everywhere in the country, Sebastian. Everywhere. I've been to Southwest Florida.
Do they know? Do the mayors know in Poughkeepsie what's happening?
Absolutely not. They don't. Look, the last trip I took with another Patriot, Tom Holman, we were actually in an airport. We go to the McAllen Airport. It was early morning flight. I would say conservatively, 50% of the people at the airport at that time catching an early flight were illegal aliens. I don't speak Spanish, but Tom does. We actually had a family confused. She was actually at the wrong time. Tom could speak Spanish. He actually helped her figure out for her and her family where to go, but have that manila envelope. By the way, taxpayers are paying for that. They fly them. Look, here's how the process goes. They illegally enter, wait for Border Patrol. They claim asylum. Border Patrol gets them, releases them over to a local shelter, a local non-governmental organization who provides them a ticket to anywhere in the United States they want to go. They get to decide.
The family gets to choose?
Absolutely. Border Patrol apprehends them illegally entering, gives them an NGO. The NGO says, where would you like to go? I want to go where my family is. Where's that? New York, South Dakota, L.A. Okay, no problem. Here's your ticket. That's how
I'm
it happens.
Stunned.
Oh, and let's not forget, when they release them, they don't test them for COVID.
Okay. All right. We should do 3 hours on this or what have you.
We can keep going.
All right. Please support this man's work. It's heritage.org, Heritage Foundation, one of the few truth tellers out there, former commissioner for Customs and Border Protection in the Trump administration. How many years in uniform, in government service?
35 years.
35 years. God bless you. You mentioned another great American. You mentioned Tom Homan, former acting director of ICE. Let's play a little cut from him, and then I'll get you to comment on what he has said. Play cuts.
When you make it easier for people to come into the country and get released quicker, that's just going to bring more. So, you know, they need to talk to the experts on the border. Look, bring me back. Bring me back. I'll secure the border in 3 days. 3 days, because I'll reinstitute the Trump policies, and I'll tell the progressive left to shut up. If they don't like what's being done on the border, then legislate like you're supposed to legislate and fix the laws.
Is that Tom exaggerating? Is it easy to make a big dent in a couple of days, Mark?
It is. Actually, the only thing I disagree with him, I don't think he needs 3 days. Right?
Really?
That's probably drive time and lunch. So added to that. Look, another thing that Tom has said that I stole from him with affection is the Biden administration inherited the most secure border in modern history. And they asked, well, what can we do? Well, first of all, just restore everything that Biden dismantled. Restore the Remain in Mexico program.
So you don't need working committees, anything that they've undone in the last 6 months, just flip the switch back.
That's it. We studied it. We've studied it. The Trump administration made more progress to secure our borders and to address illegal immigration than any presidency in modern history. By February of 2020, we had reduced the flow from the 2019 crisis by 75%. Why? Because our policies and messaging synced up and said the same thing, that you are not going to be allowed to break our laws, illegally enter, and be released in the United States, never be heard from again. And it was effective. And this administration got rid of it all.
Okay, let's do a little bit of blue sky scenario planning.
Is there?
Say something miraculous happens. Say that there's some catastrophe with regards to. I don't even want to paint the picture, but say something happens at the border, which is so bad that this administration is forced to do something, and they do. It won't be as good as it was under Donald Trump, because they have such visceral hatred for a man who said, make America great again, as if that's somehow a bad thing. Let's say that happens. Let's talk about something you've discussed on this show before. Pushing against water. I mean, it was in the Trump administration, it wasn't easy to get things done, although he achieved so many things. You lay a lot of the responsibility on the lawmakers.
I do.
Tell us what needs to happen, not just at the level of executive policy from any White House, not just under COVID conditions. And Is it relatively easy, and what needs to be done in terms of laws, Mark?
Yes, so it is relatively easy. President Trump has said this multiple times. He's spot on, just like when he said bad people come in as well, is what needs to be done can be done in 15 minutes by Congress. It is that simple. So let's talk about a couple of things. First, it's called TVPRA, Trafficking Victims Reauthorization Protection Act. Look, what that says is it's a nonsensical law that Senator Feinstein really pushed through that says—
When is this? When
2008, okay. That says that if you're from a contiguous country, i.e. Canada and Mexico, and you come as an unaccompanied minor, once we find out that you've not been trafficked, we're gonna reunite you. We're going to send you back to your country. Mm-hmm. But if you're outside, if you're from a non-contiguous country, if you're outside Mexico or Canada, and you come in as an unaccompanied minor, and we determine you haven't been trafficked, guess what? We keep you.
Isn't that like discrimination between children?
Absolutely. It's creating a class that shouldn't be.
Guatemalan kids don't get reunited, but correct. Mexicans do.
Correct. Sebastian. I said the same thing. And look, I've been down to all three Northern Triangle countries, and I've spoken to leaders, and separately, individually, all said, Mr. Commissioner, can you please change your law so you stop keeping our kids? Stop keeping the future of our country? So number one, TVPRA needs to be fixed. Number two, credible fear. Credible fear right now, which allows someone to be involved in the asylum process, there is no standard at
so
all.
So let's break this down. So somebody is, you know, they say, I am afraid that if I go back X, and they just need to say that.
That's it.
And it's like, okay, I'm afraid my neighbor might say rude words or something. I mean, look.
It's basically that absurd. That's it. So
when did that happen?
So that's been around, you know, really the expansion of credible fear started under Obama.
Let me be very clear here. My parents, this isn't just, you know, the Austrian Border Patrol. These were actual counterintelligence professionals because they did come from a communist country who interrogated my future mother and father for 6 weeks until they could demonstrate that they're not assets of that regime, they're not criminals, they actually want to live as respectable, law-abiding citizens. Shouldn't that, I don't care what country you're from, isn't that just logical, Mark?
Yeah, it is. And that's why I keep saying this is the majority of this is common sense. And look, so the credible fear standard has been low forever, but it really came to light under Obama, and it started from DACA. That's where the unaccompanied kids started, then
so,
the families.
So talk about DACA.
Yep.
What has to be done with this? Because that was literally unconstitutional.
It is. The Fifth Circuit says it's illegal and unconstitutional, so we need to follow the Fifth Circuit court that said it's unconstitutional and get rid of DACA, right? But here's
what
I'm saying.
So Obama just actually penned an unconstitutional policy.
EO, that's correct. It was unconstitutional and illegal. And we've been saying that finally the Fifth Circuit said so. The last thing that's really, really critical is what's called the FSA, the Flores Settlement Agreement. This lower level.
Explain the Flores.
So the Flores Settlement Agreement says that if you're unaccompanied minor or family, the Border Patrol, DHS, we can't keep you for more than 20 days. And we told them in the court proceedings, that's crazy. It takes a minimum of 60 to 90 days to get through an immigration hearing for those that are in custody, which the INA says will be priority. And the judge said, don't care, 20 days. Boom, catch and release began.
Wow.
That's what began. MPP got rid of that. So look, all you got to do, address TVPRA, address credible fear, reinstitute, get rid of and address the Flores Settlement Agreement so we can detain people.
And you could do this in one bill, couldn't you?
One bill. And the last thing I have to say, because I have to say this for my ICE brothers and sisters, is detention. Detention.
Explain.
Look, we have to have a system of consequences. We can't allow people to come here illegally and then there's no consequences. We have shown that if you detain somebody while you're going through your immigration proceedings, one is, guess what? Once they find out that their claim is valid, you actually get to remove them, right? Because you have them, right? But here's what you see, the phenomena. When you start doing that, guess what happens to the numbers?
I would imagine they plummet.
Exactly.
Right.
Anytime you play consequences or you show them that you're not going to be released into the country, the numbers go down.
One thing you haven't mentioned in your recipes for fixing this, either with policy prescriptions or a new bill, is the wall. Talk to us about the wall.
Yeah.
Was it significant? Was it symbolic? Where does it stand? What needs to be done?
And I think here's why I don't mention the wall as far as when you're talking about a fixes for illegal immigration, because the wall was not about illegal immigration. The wall was about protecting our national security against a vast, complex set of threats. It was not about illegal immigration. It was not meant to keep people out. That's not what it's designed. It was meant to protect America. It was meant to protect America from drugs pouring into this country. Instead of the cartels.
You mean like your front door on your house? That crazy kind of idea.
Crazy, right?
You can lock a door.
That's right, right? I always say, look, if you're in need of help, you're going to stand a heck of a lot better chance if you walk into my front door in the middle of the day and knock on my door and respectfully ask for permission or help.
If you're a refugee, right? You should probably say, hey, I'm here and this is why I'm a refugee.
Right.
As opposed to being smuggled across the desert.
Right, right. Or entering my basement window at midnight and then expecting to stay and be rewarded for that, right? I mean, again, it goes back to common sense.
So the future of the wall, if you know, let's say blue sky again, scenario planning, do we need more of it?
Yes, we do. We absolutely need more of it. Look, President Trump, and I need to address the 2000 Secure Fence Act too in a minute, but yes, look, the wall, here's a very important thing. Instead of the cartels shaping our behaviors, the wall helps us shape their behaviors.
Beautiful, right? Beautiful, right? Beautiful.
We want them to go. Where do we want them to go? We want them to go to the ports of entry.
We want them to be where you are.
Exactly, where we have the law and authority and ability to stop every person and every conveyance coming into our country. That's where we want them to go. The wall helps that.
So the wall is a funnel.
It is a funnel. It's an effective impedance denial tool, which, real quick.
Did you hear that? That's Washington speak. Effective impedance denial tool.
And it's true. Look, here's another thing, too. Let's not forget the 2000 Secure Fence Act. This is very important, Sebastian, because this is just another layer of hypocrisy. In 2006, there was a bipartisan Secure Fence Act that was passed. 80% of the senators voted for it, right? Including Kerry, Feinstein, Schumer. And then Hillary Clinton, Obama, and then
Biden.
Senator Biden voted for it.
Crazy.
In fact, and that Secure Fence Act actually ended up resulting in 650 miles of wall being built. In 2009, Chuck Schumer gave that speech in 2009 to Georgetown University where he bragged about voting for the wall and he talked about how effective the wall was on the southwest border.
These guys have no morals. These guys have no morals. We've played the audio from just 14, 15 years ago with Democrats saying, no, we cannot build a nation on illegal immigrants. It's got to be legal. Chuck Schumer? Biden? What? Nancy! Okay, let's stop. All right, the most important thing for me outside of the security of all Americans is the following, and I always make time for this. Please, in the last few minutes we have, that we're talking to Mark Morgan, former Commissioner for Customs and Border Protection, and more importantly, a former Marine, because there's no such thing as an ex-Marine.
That's right.
Talk to us about what this has done to your colleagues and your former subordinates across ICE, HSI, CBP. Are any good guys going to be left? Are you seeing retirement rates like we're seeing at the NYPD?
Yes. In fact, it's ironic because I was just talking to a retired Border Patrol agent. We were texting back and forth this morning, Sebastian, and he was telling me how people, they're done. They quote their words. This is my words. This is lunacy. This is not sustainable. People are now, they're retiring early. He was talking to a buddy who said, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
Because I can't do my job.
And here's another thing that we don't talk enough about, right? Because the Democrats and folks like AOC want to demonize the Border Patrol. That's absolutely BS. And here's why. Because part of the reason why they're leaving is because of the inhumanity that's happening right now.
Because of the White House policy.
Yes. CBP has discovered 203 dead migrants. They've conducted over 9,000 rescues. There's a Texas sheriff that found a dead pregnant Haitian woman. Look, I could go on and on. And that's why I tell you, this administration didn't do anything. Look, just 2 days ago, right? Illegal aliens crashed. I think 11 dead migrants, 13 wounded, trying to illegal enter the United States. What did you hear from the Biden administration? 203 dead bodies, nothing. 9,000 rescues, nothing. 10 dead migrants, nothing. That's why I know they're not going to do anything.
But you're the Gestapo, right? I mean,
exactly.
you're the jackbooted thugs who are rescuing kids from the river that are just about to be drowned. The kids that are, we've seen the videos being literally thrown over the fence.
Literally thrown over. And that's what many of the Border Patrol agents are saying. I can't take this anymore.
Okay.
I can't take it.
Okay. Last thing. In that case, I want you to send a message because we've got millions of listeners and then everybody else who watches and listens to our podcasts and our video streams. Please indulge me. Send a message, if you will, to your former colleagues. What do you say to them? And then what do you say to those who live in, I don't know, in states that are not contiguous with the southern border, people who live hundreds and thousands of miles away? What do you say to those Americans who don't really relate right now?
First, to my brothers and sisters out there, first of all, thank you. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about you. I know you're on the front lines. You're sacrificing so much. So many of you have actually died in the line of duty, and you are put in an untenable position. Do the best you can. Keep fighting the fight, and keep sending us information, because you're the only ones that know the truth of what's going on. But no, there's many of us out there fighting, including this man sitting in front of me, Sebastian Gorka, who's facilitating getting the truth out there. Now, to the other states that aren't border states, this is what I'll say to you. You are a border state. Every town, city, and state in this country is a border town, city, and state. Why? Because the crisis happening in our southwest border doesn't stay there. The drugs pouring in our southwest border make it to every single neighborhood. If you have a meth overdose, you hear it on TV, that meth came from the southwest border. If you have an MS-13 that raped somebody or killed somebody or mutilated somebody, which we hear about all the time, that MS-13 gang member has its origin in Central America, and a good chance it came from the southwest border. Criminal aliens are pouring through. 300,000 have gotten through. There are criminals making your way to every town, city, and state because our border is unsecure because of this administration. Get up, talk to your state AGs, talk to your governors, get them involved to push back against this administration.
So, I love the way he put it to his brothers and sisters. We're thinking of you. We're praying for you.
Yes.
Hold the line as long as you can. We will overcome. We don't know how long it will take, but we will overcome. And to all of those who can't relate, guess what? You are all living in a border state, every single one of you. God bless you, Mark. Thank you for keeping the truth alive.
Yep. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, Sebastian.
Absolutely.